Hi, this is Mark Gunn with the Brobdingnagian Bards, and you're listening to the Goblin Broadcast Network.
Welcome to my secret lair on Skullcrusher Mountain. That you've enjoyed your stay so far. I see you've met my assistant Scarface. His appearance is quite disturbing, but I assure you he's harmless enough. He's a sweetheart, calls me master, and he has a way of finding pretty things and bringing them to me. Oh, and I'm so into you. Henchmen think I'm crazy. I'm not surprised that you agree. If you could find some way to be a little bit less afraid of me, you'd see the voices that control me from inside my head say I shouldn't kill you. I made this half-pony, half-monkey monster to please you, but I get the feeling that you don't like it. What's with all the screaming? You like monkeys, you like ponies. Maybe you don't like monsters so much. Maybe I use too many monkeys. Isn't it enough to know that I ruined a pony making a gift for you? Oh, and I'm so into you, but I'm way too smart for you. Even my henchmen think I'm crazy. I'm not surprised that you agree. If you could find some way to be a little bit less afraid of me, you'd see the voices that control me from inside my head say I shouldn't kill you. Picture the two of us alone inside my golden submarine, while up above the waves my doomsday squad ignites the atmosphere. And all the fools who live their foolish lives may find it quite explosive. Well, it won't mean half as much to me if I don't have. Easy living here on Skullcrusher Mountain. Maybe you could cut me just a little slack. Would it kill you to be civil? I've been patient, I've been gracious, and this mountain is covered with wolves. Hear them howling, my hungry children. Maybe you should stay and have another drink. Think about me and you. Oh, cause I'm so into you, but I'm way too smart for you. Even my henchmen think I'm crazy. I'm not surprised that you agree. If you could find some way to be a little bit less afraid of me, you'd see the voices that control me from inside my head say I shouldn't kill you. I shouldn't kill you, yeah. I shouldn't kill you,
Gamers Haven Podcast, a gaming podcast for game masters of all gaming systems. So grab your dice bags and we'll get your game on. Well, welcome back to our World Creation segments. We're sort of getting to a close end on these. This is part three of the Magic, Technology, and Races, where we wrap up just talking about races in this one. And I believe it's going to be 2 weeks until the next episode, because Jeremy and Robin are getting married next weekend, which is the 9th of June. So enjoy this show, and we'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
And the Lord did grin, and the people did feast upon the lambs, and sloths, and carp, and anchovies, and orangutans, and breakfast cereals, and fruit bats.
Aw, welcome, welcome. Come on in, please, please. Have a seat, warm yourself by the fire, and listen to the friendly minstrel's song. What? You've come seeking the tome? Well, you are in luck. I am the keeper of the tome. And what would you do with this mighty podcast? Oh, good, good. You have the right idea. You see, the tome is a source for expanding your understanding of Dungeons and Dragons, and what various books have to offer. The tome's knowledge is endless when it comes to Dungeons and Dragons. So sit, listen, and become a sage of great renown. The tome is a Dungeons and Dragons review podcast focused on official content. You can find the tome at http://thetome.podbean.com or search for the tome on iTunes.
O Lord, bless this thy hand grenade, that with it thou mayst blow thine enemies to tiny bits in thy mercy.
And they also don't show their emotions outside. Think about a society that is all underground.
Stoic.
Is in tight place. Think about your family, your whole family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about just your mom.
Right.
I'm talking about everybody, your cousins, living here. Okay? And they go out and they mine. The only thing that is actually something personal isn't even showering, it's what your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only personal things you have. Everything else is out in the open. When you get married, guess what? You're bringing them home.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a sheet in between you and the rest of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. Could we do that?
No, but the Hispanics do it a lot when they come up here.
Oh, we're talking about dwarves.
Hispanic dwarves?
No. I'm just saying, Jeremy's talking about something that's completely alien to us, but
other cultures.
China. I mean, Japan. But the only separation between, you know, a wife and her husband and, say, their child is, you know, a rice sheet wall.
Mm-hmm.
And sun goes right through those. The kids just learn from conditioning to just block out. When that door goes closed, they don't hear anything.
And that's and you can explain that to your players that way.
Yeah.
Think about that. But that's why they don't show emotions outside of, because they have to learn to keep that. That's the only personal thing they have. So when they do show emotions...
The way I view it with emotions is the dwarves just don't want other people to know that they have fears and things. Because, you know, they have to be these gruff, you know...
Well, because it's a personal thing. It's the only thing they have control of.
That's not necessarily true, though.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you're living with so many people around you, though, I mean, it's such a tight space. We're not talking... Just because the mountain's huge doesn't mean there's a lot of room, because a lot of that's mining,
mm-hmm.
a lot of that's factories. I mean, think about work. Humans are pretty, we spread out. An elf
like a plague.
Is pretty spread out. I mean, an elf is going to live, it's the husband and the wife.
Also, it's, you know, you mentioned that probably elves don't procreate as much.
They don't procreate as much. Dwarves are going to procreate a little bit more.
It's like, I don't want to have children until I'm 800.
I don't want to be able to go out and do things before they settle down. But yeah, they do eventually settle down.
But dwarves, I could see as, you know, procreating like bunnies, because it's like, hey, we need more miners.
And I just...
And they're quick
to mature. I say that they can't.
Yeah.
I just put it that they actually can't. They may try to have big families because that's needed, but whatever, because of their genetic makeup, mm-hmm. they only have 1, 2, 3 children, but it's spread out.
Right. Whereas my way I look at it is I would have them actually have big families. Mm-hmm. That's the way the world would be. You have 12 brothers and 11 sisters.
Because
just
because your individual family might only be 2 or 3, though, they're talking about the clan.
Right.
So you have, 30 families with 3 children, 2 children,
mm-hmm.
and they're all clans. So your name might be such and such, but then your clan such and such.
Mm-hmm. You're like Thorgrim Baldur, a clan Stone Hollow.
And that's why when you're clanless, that's a problem.
When you're clanless,
your
that's like
destroyed. If your clan is, you're kicked out of your clan because you aren't rigid within that society. That's where most of the adventuring I would see would come from.
I don't do clans with my dwarves, though. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Yeah, you have
a
kingdom.
Yeah, they have kingdoms.
See, my kingdoms come from the clans.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I like the clan structure.
I don't even remember where I got the Thane thing from. Although I do see it's prevalent in Warhammer, but I didn't know that until I got
Dwarven King. What's the name of the Dwarven King?
I don't remember where I heard that from.
They use Thanes too.
Yeah, but I called them Thanes before I gamed with you. So I'm trying to remember where I read that or where I heard that.
It might have even been in Tolkien.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hadn't.
Well, okay, so we've talked about the elves, we've talked about the dwarves. Let's move on to, some of the other races.
Halflings.
Halflings.
Halflings I could see having 10 brothers and 10 sisters.
How do you guys deal with your halflings? I know how I deal with my halflings.
I really don't like halflings because they creep me out.
I haven't actually had a lot of people run halflings.
But I usually just go with how D&D handles them. They're sort of everywhere.
So basically what you're telling me is next time we run in one of his world, we need to have us all be halflings. Every single one of us.
All of us in his world?
Yeah, and any NPCs you hire have halflings.
I just get images of the Munchkins from The Wizard of Oz.
We represent the lollipop kids. Yeah. I haven't had anybody run halflings really in my world except for Mari. Mm-hmm. And Mari is not what you'd classify as a normal halfling.
No.
I mean, she's a priest. So she's a little bit different. She loves food.
Well, when you think of halflings, typically you think of the Kender from Dragonlance.
Or the hobbits.
I don't think of the hobbits. No,
you think of the hobbits. I think of gnomes when you think of that.
Don't.
Yes,
yeah, I've had a lot of players.
That's the thing is you've always had
hobbits.
These two. It's yeah.
And I'm like, halflings are not hobbits. Halflings are halflings.
But they called the hobbits halflings, which is why
but
a lot of people
not
think about
hobbits.
That.
And no
hobbits are
specific.
Hobbits are a specific type of halflings. Would be the
in
way I would put it. The thing is they even did that in the original AD&D second edition. They had two or three different tribes, and one of them they described as being hobbit-like
in
the
Kender,
book.
And Kender to me were so different because Kender are one of the creepiest things in existence.
They're kleptomaniacs.
They're not scared of anything.
They don't have fear.
The funniest thing is the Kendor, a Kendor army. They're just like milling about. You're like, what are they going to do? We're going to charge them with a cavalry. They're going to die. No, they're just like, they
don't
take
like
their little slings, and then they kill you.
Yeah.
And they're quite content about it. They're like, we're Kendor. Now we're going to loot you.
Well,
we're
going to
steal all the stuff off of your family.
The really scary thing about the Kendor was that they were strong. Like, when you read the stories and stuff about them, all the different stories, because there's stories other than, Tannis, or whatever his name was.
Goalie dwarves. I hate goalie dwarves.
They're retarded. The retarded
I hate
dwarves.
Them so much. They're the...
They're the best of
race.
Yeah, this my favorite character in the Dragonlance series was Flint, and they killed Flint anyway, so... And
I
didn't like goalie dwarves because they held Flint hostage for years.
And they were stupid.
Yeah, they were idiots.
They're like snotlings.
Yeah.
But stupider.
I got a question for you. You played Warhammer. What the hell is a snotling pump wagon?
It pumps snotlings.
What is it, though? I see it at the store. I'm like, that's cool looking, but what
know.
Does it
I
do?
I think it sprays out
gushed
up snotling
gun. I want one of the little goon launchers.
I know what one on my world would be.
The catapult with the little gauntlet.
Okay, halflings. Back to halflings. They're not super long-lived. They live a little bit longer than humans.
I usually have them live as long as humans due to their size, because their body, their system is actually working, functioning, the smaller you are, the faster your system has to function.
But yeah, you'll notice I don't have lots of halflings in my world.
We haven't run into them. It's one of the reasons why they eat so much in my world, is that they have to eat more than the average person to sustain their metabolism. Otherwise, they starve to death. But they don't. They live about as long as humans. Mm. They don't live any longer because their metabolism system burns out.
You know, my halflings.
It's like, look at how long. Look at the small animals in the world. You have a bird or a mouse. A mouse's metabolism system runs so fast. They eat their. Most types of rodents eat their at least half their weight or more a day in food to survive. They die in 2 years. Their system just runs so hard, so fast, for so long that it just gives out. So that's how I do my halflings.
See, my halflings want to live in little villages. And I know people are going to say, well, they are like hobbits.
No. Because they're not living in hills.
They want to live in nice little villages. They want to eat. They want to be left alone. But people won't leave them alone because they're like, oh, look at these little things. They'll be something easy that we can steal from. I've had a lot of PC hobbits. I use them more like, they're usually the victims. Because they do show a lot of, most people are like, you're picking on a halfling? What kind of person are you? My God, that's horrible.
You go, I'm a GM, it is my duty.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, when they run into the NPC who just raided and murdered, like, this halfling village. And they're, like, you know, 6 foot tall humans, and they just went through and put everybody on pipes and killed them all. I mean, it's like, basically, they just killed your children.
Half pikes, maybe.
Nobody's really sure where Ethan obviously would be one of the ones killing them.
Butter knives, maybe.
Halflings on my world, nobody's quite sure where they came from. At first they didn't have their own deity, now they do, and they're turning more into paladins.
I just see halflings, naked, with a tiki mask, running around, throwing spears.
That does happen some places.
Exactly.
Dark Sun.
The Dark Sun had the coolest halflings. The only halflings I liked were in Dark Sun, because they were cannibals! And they were crazy feral beasts.
They were cannibals, but they also made some of the most beautiful mechanical artwork. I thought that was such a funny experience.
Yep. And they ate people. It was awesome.
Cool.
I don't know, halflings?
I just see the how I would describe the halflings were quivering balls of white-hot terror. Wasn't you put them into a bag, shake them, and let them go.
I like halflings. Most of my halflings are part of one of the other empires. And like I said, they just want to farm. They want to be left alone. They're usually in the background. They just have normal children, you know, family sizes, things like that.
Yeah, I see them as having large families because, well, they're prolific.
Well, yeah, like humans. They're basically like
they
humans,
hump like bunnies.
Smaller,
yeah.
People. So,
but the thing is humans are very prolific in my world as well.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're dealing with an environment where, you know, a horde of 10,000 orcs may sweep through and ravage the countryside, you got to have a lot of people.
Well,
we did discuss
orcs last time. Yeah. We've discussed humans. Mm-hmm. We've got elves, dwarves, halflings, gnomes. You're common about gnomes.
Gnomes are an unusual dichotomy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're common about gnomes.
Gnomes? I always looked at gnomes as the more mechanically curious.
So why are they like hobbits?
Why are they like hobbits? Just in appearance, honestly.
Really?
Yeah. They have the hairy feet.
Really?
Yeah.
I never had gnomes like that.
Short with hairy feet.
My gnomes are like 2 feet tall. They usually wear a hat. They have a humongous nose and a beard.
Okay.
And sometimes they jump out behind
the feet. I think about a 2 to 3 foot tall Scottish man. Covered in hair.
I might have to bring you the gnome book. So you can be horrified.
My gnome is nothing.
No.
Oh, you haven't seen the fairy book. It's even worse.
My gnomes are nothing like either one of your guys' gnomes. My gnomes are larger than halfling. They are basically, they're like the Atlanteans on Jeremy's world. All mechanized stuff. They create the technology. But that being said, is you won't see many gnomes on the continent because no one really knows where they come from. Invariably, they show up in boats, and they decide to just stick around, and they don't seem to bring women with them, and they die off.
I like to have the two different types of gnomes. So you have the more agricultural ones, then you have the industrial ones.
Yeah.
You have the agricultural ones, which have the little gnome villages and huts and holes in the ground, and You know, they have their farms, and they live there. They're happy. They chew on buckwheat all day. Then you have the gnomes that are the technology gnomes, or they have big steam mechs, and they build, like, Rube Goldberg contraptions for everything that they need. And they're just ridiculously mechanized.
Pythagorean switches, huh?
Right.
See, I have two types. I have the forest gnomes and the rock gnomes. Rock gnomes live in the hills. They're very good at they're jewel crafters.
See, and the third group of gnomes, really, I do have the rock gnomes, the underground mountain gnomes, which I look sort of like as the little brothers to the dwarves.
Well, these do a lot of trading with the dwarves. The dwarves are quite content to trade with them because they're non-threatening, and yes, they're kind of like the younger brother.
Dwarves mine ores.
The
gnomes mine gems.
The forest gnomes are basically, they just want to be left alone.
They're
live
pygmies.
In their trees.
They're nasty.
Sometimes they're nasty, but usually they're pretty nice. They're the type of things that actually you can entrust them with your children. You can send them out in the woods, and you know that if there's no forest gnomes in there, they're going to come home at night. Because those little gnomes will be like...
Basically, it boils down to urban dwarves or rural dwarves.
Yeah.
Well, see, the thing is since no one's really quite sure where the gnomes come from, no one really knows what the gnome society is like. I have it written down somewhere on a sheet on a
cocktail napkin.
No, it's in a computer document.
Well,
on the paper.
I mean, no. My one gnome does. There is that gnome in the ship. It's on top of the Wayfarer Inn on the planet. So anyone can learn technology. I just don't have the gnomes being super tech. Though I have been playing around with the idea of making them jewel crafters and alchemists.
Mine are very technology oriented. All the ones that have been in the game. You know, they bring out, like,
also,
the guns and stuff. They're like, check this out! Watch this!
With that one cartoon, though. That gnome cartoon.
Oh,
he rode the
David
foxes.
The gnome.
I grew up with that.
So did I.
And
what?
I have a very... You've never...
It's a Swedish
gnome
cartoon.
Gnomes with foxes?
Yeah,
they rode a
they
fox.
They ride foxes. They were with the... In nature, and they were really small, and I think they dealt with...
Dude, have you been on the mess
humans
one
and trolls.
Again?
There was trolls around, too.
Yeah, lots
right.
of trolls. The trolls were nasty.
You should check it out. You should put it on the site.
You guys are crazy.
David the Gnome.
David the Gnome. No, it's...
No, it's a real cartoon.
It was a real cartoon. It was really good. They showed on Nicktoons all the time in the morning.
David the Gnome.
It's very calming.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
Right. It's yeah. like an acid trip. Okay, guys.
No. Acid trip, you could have a bad trip. And David the Gnome, you never had a bad trip.
No.
I'll take your word for it. I'll put the link in the show notes.
He doesn't like David the Gnome.
He's never heard of him.
That's bad.
We need to show him some David the Gnome.
No. I think I could probably go through my life without seeing any David the Gnome and be happy.
But those gnomes were absolutely tiny.
You have to get married someday. And when
to
you
David
do,
the Gnome?
No.
When you do, one of your gifts will
have
a box set of David the Gnome
bachelor
babies.
Party, and if I have to switch out the boxes, I will.
Great. Not telling you guys if I'm going to get married.
There's always birthdays.
Oh, hey, we got married. I got married like 2 weeks ago, guys, just so you know. Bye.
Somebody bag him.
No!
Okay, we got gnomes. Let's talk about a random species that we all have on our
Hobo.
On our world. Go ahead.
Oh, the rat bastards of the sewers, huh?
I think his are different. Though.
That's precisely the opposite of what I have them as. Yeah. So I have the reptilian kobolds, and they are an offshoot of dragons.
Yeah, they're draconic.
And I treat my gnomes, or gnomes, duh, I treat my kobolds sort of like Babylon 5 treats the Pachmara. They're everywhere, but people don't notice them.
They're absolutely everywhere in my world.
But with mine, typically they are more sorcerous, and obviously they have they're much more to the rogues. But the way they're shaping up on my world is they're also very mysterious, sort of, for lack of a better term, ninja-like. They're also assassins.
They're absolutely evil in my world.
I thought they were also technologically advanced.
Like there was one running around with a steam arm with a siren on the top.
My
gnomes built that for him.
Mine are not technologically advanced. They're evil.
That was the Dread Pirate Good Booty Booty. Built that for him.
Dread Pirate Good Booty.
Yeah, the gnome is Dread Pirate Good Booty.
And he's... Okay, so kobolds on your world.
Yeah. Kobolds in my world are tribal.
What's a different, something different? Hmm? A different race that maybe we haven't, like, just that
I've got the river folk that you, neither one of you guys have.
Okay.
And they're the good embodiment. So that's the way it works in my world. The kobolds are the evil embodiment of dragons. It's all the evil essence that was left behind when they were creating offshoots went to the kobolds, pretty much. The other half, they're still, you know, still good dragons. Their essence was used to create the river folk. The river folk are draconic as well. But for the most part, they're a fairly decent race. They don't like kobolds. They hate kobolds, and they hate lizardmen, because lizardmen fly for the same areas that they do to survive in. They are a playable race in my world, and I've had a lot of people play them, because they're fun. Although I'm curious to see what's going to happen now that the dragons have come back.
You've never read any Arcana Evolved, have you?
That was where I got the idea to bring the dragons back from.
Okay, but you know about the, what is it, the Draka? In the Draka in Arcana Evolved?
Yeah.
It's the Draka, and then there's another one I can't remember off the top of my head, but they're kind of dragon-like, too.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
The reptilians. Yeah.
But,
I actually have one of those, the mage model of one of those. But
cool.
Actually, I had all that stuff written down for that for my D&D world, like 4 years before the Arcana Evolved book came out.
Let's see. Okay, so you have the river folk. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest change I would have, because I've got tons of races that I use, and we all add our own specialties to it, but there's something I'm doing with the demons. They're not playable, but I really think that I have nothing against alignments, but it does bother me that there are lawful good devils, or lawful evil devils, and chaotic evil demons. So what I'm trying to do is make them, they're all demons. But there are different types. There's the Tanari, which are more chaos-bent.
There's the Batizu.
Uh-huh, which are more lawful-bent.
Mm-hmm.
And then the, what's the other ones? The neutral ones, usually. The Yugoloths. And the thing about demons is they're so different than everybody else. Most of them are evil, but that's not quite... The main thing to think about all of them is they're selfish.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what that selfishness is about. It could be money, it could be... food, it could be something stupid, but they're all selfish. And they also don't really think too much about trying to get their way. Now, that doesn't mean a demon won't help you. But some of them might. Now, are you going to be more... Would it be better to deal with the angelic entities? Yes. But sometimes dealing with the demons is a little bit better in the sense that they will not judge you by your ethics.
They don't care. Money's money, souls are souls.
Exactly, exactly. So I've been trying to build on that. And also I try to build on it and make them more individualized also. Yes, you're going to have your normal, like, foot soldier and things.
Then you have your demons that are wearing Glyphim's puffy purple pants.
Well, yeah, that was just funny.
I don't want to get demoted.
But then, you know, things like the Nine Hells, that's basically just like it's one powerful demon lord.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's something that came from behind, you know, from the demon masters that came before everything else. So I guess races, you just need to build your own individual races. Take what there already is. If you want to do something special with them, do it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I even modified my elves a little bit.
Well, like in my world, the orcs are... many people have their savage orcs, you know. I mean, I with Fallout from the last campaign, in my world, my orcs have gone significantly up in stature and have more or less become like the used car salesman of the fantasy world.
And we have very different...
And there is no dark elves. There are now dark orcs, which are referred to as dorks.
We have very different views on the dark elves.
Stupid dark
elves. Yours have all become dorks. Mine are actual not drow, they're dark elves.
Because drow suck.
Well, the dark elves ancient goddess was eaten by Shagira because she fell in love with a dark elf priestess.
And
because of Andradia, who thought that even a dark goddess should love.
Yeah.
So she does, but she destroyed a whole pantheon to do it. So basically, the whole point is, out of all of our ramblings and ranting, is that you need to take the different races, you need to modify them. You also need to look at how magic affects
them. Make it your own. I think that's the ultimate thing we're trying to say.
Add those quirks. And sometimes those quirks will not come into play until, well, you're playing.
Exactly. Like my orcs becoming the used car salesman, more or less, sort of just ended up that way. I wasn't planning on that. It just sort of went that direction, and I said, okay, I'm going to go with that, see what happens, you know.
And it's always great to have the shock value of some race, or even an individual of some race, that that goes against everything.
Goes against the norm,
and so when they show up, players are taken back, but their characters aren't necessarily taken back. Or maybe they are. But you need to build upon that.
It's to getting out of those stereotypes.
Yeah. You need to build upon that, also see how magic and technology would work with all that. Anything else?
No, I think we'll be back with the three-parter after this.
Good.
Do you feel all right, ma'am?
Hmm? Oh, yes, certainly. It's just that I've read so often about you and Batman in the press, and, well, the experience of actually viewing you in the flesh is faintly faint-making.
Please, Miss Stoneman, there's no reason to be disturbed.
That's right. Behind our masks, we're perfectly ordinary people.
Hello, gamers out there, everyone. This is Peter Adkiss, and I cordially invite you to come to Gen Con Indianapolis, August 16 to 19 at the Indianapolis Convention Center for our 40th anniversary, the biggest party yet for gamers.
Quick, shut that door, man.
As if that's going to stop it.
Look, it's not my fault the Elder Sign didn't work.
That's because it's shaped like a star.
No, it's shaped like a tree.
Star!
Tree!
Star! Well, it's too late now. We're the last ones.
What about Lady Hetherington?
She set on fire, then exploded.
And Father O'Leary?
He plucked out his own eyeballs and ate them.
Damn. I wish I'd visited YoggSothoth.com more often.
YoggSothoth.com?
Yes, you know, that Call of Cthulhu website. Jolly useful. It's got forums, news, even interviews with the great and the undead.
Oh, I do wish you hadn't said that.
Oh, my lord! Stay away from me, you horror! No!
Well, you'll not take me! What? No! Please, no!
The Yogg Radio, a Cthulhu podcast from YoggSothoth.com.
All right, I apologize. I'm really, really sorry. I apologize unreservedly. I offer a complete and utter retraction. The imputation was totally without basis in fact and was in no way fair comment and was motivated purely by malice, and I deeply regret any distress that my comments may have caused you or your family, and I hereby undertake not to repeat any such slander at any time in the future.
We're back with yet another three-parter. Today I'm going to give us a nice rant. Nathan's got a review, and Jeremy's got our resident, our resident NPC guru, has character again. So we'll kick it off with the rant.
The rant.
I'm always I'm always ranting on something or other.
Because you're angry.
I am angry. And, you know, I'm gonna do a nice rant on something that's just one of those, just one of those rants that, you know, it's just me being weird. I don't like, you know, D20 is a great thing. I don't mind D20. I think D20 overall was a good thing for the gaming industry. It's done its thing. It's, you know, people are moving on. However, I gotta say that some companies have fared much better, and some companies have fared worse when it comes to D20 merchandise, when it comes to gaming product in general. You have companies like Green Ronin that puts out, you know, generally, I would say 90% of the time, they put out good product. Wizards of the Coast, 50% of the time, put out good product. Mongoose Publishing, on the other hand, you know, 2% of the time, puts out good product.
Of course, they do the shotgun effect.
I don't like companies that put out gaming books in mass quantities. Is, hey, we've got a license. Let's put out the core book, and then next month we'll put out 4 source books, and then another 3 the next month, and then another 12 the month after that. And, you know, this isn't even for just Mongoose. It's for most gaming companies. Pinnacle Publishing was guilty of this with the Deadlands game.
Palladium
is bad about it. But, you know, Deadlands is a great game. Mongoose puts out a bunch of crap, but, you know, like with Deadlands, good game, but they put out modules for that every bloody month, and it just gets ridiculous. It got just annoying to the point of, you know, you can't keep up with the hobby, you can't afford to keep buying these $20, $30, $40, $50 books, and the fact that most of these books you won't even use. It's just ridiculous. And some of the stuff that some of these companies put out, like Avalanche Press or Mongoose Publishing, that you look at their books, the artwork is absolutely terrible. The content is absolutely terrible. I mean, some of it you just got to wonder, is it written by like a 5-year-old? Is it written by someone who is just this geeky little fanboy living in his mom's basement who said, ooh, I get to write a gaming supplement? I don't get that. And I just don't see how it benefits the gaming industry or even benefits our image when companies like Avalanche Press puts out books about, you know, the Vikings and has a scantily clad Viking woman on the front in a snowfield that's so painfully, obviously drawn there to be, hey, look at my
Smurf,
to be just ridiculous. I mean,
I thought it was, hey, look at my
Smurf.
They do both. Some of them are
Smurf.
Some are
Smurf.
Some are both. But the it's ridiculous. I mean, come on, people. Books like the Book of Erotic Fantasy. Come on. It's that we complain about not being taken seriously as an industry, and then you turn around and you put out crap like that. What's that about? Come on. It didn't sell, so people didn't want to buy it. For the love of God, people, come on. This is just getting ridiculous. That's it. I'm done.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It was just Book of Erotic. You mentioned the Book of Erotic Fantasy. I remember when we went to Gen Con when they were promoting that, and they had all the women walking around in the chainmail bikinis. I just remember that one we walked by, and we stopped, and we looked at it, and looked at each other, and went, whoa, note of point, wear a bra underneath the chainmail bikini. Chainmail bikinis have holes in them, and it's cold in that convention center. So when they're sticking, when you know you have nipples sticking out to the chainmail armor, that's not a good thing at a family-oriented convention.
Yeah.
Remember the chainmail bikini chick that didn't have any underwear?
Remind me.
It's just annoying. You know, it's like you put a company like Avalanche Press puts out their thing, and when it's just. Sure, the little fanboy is going to look at it and go, hey, he's got a hot girl on it. But, you know, most of us who are, you know, intelligent, you know, over 25 men and women are going to look at that and go, oh, come on, people.
You How need more than just
Grow that. Up, for the love of God.
We're not in this hobby for
Smurf. Smurf.
No.
I mean, if we were in for
Smurf. Smurf.
To be going strip clubs.
Yeah, exactly.
Not looking at the front of the book going, I love my barbarian woman. Bap, 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 bap. She is the best in the world. Bap, bap, bap. No, we're not doing that. You know,
no, it's
we don't do this.
Grow.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
It's just like, you know, come on, people, grow up. That's it. I don't have anything else.
The review.
And we're going to move on to the review with Nathan.
Yes. I'm going to review a role-playing game, a video game that just, well, it came out in January, but I just actually got a chance to play it. It's on the PS2. It's a Japanese-style console role-playing game. It's called Rogue Galaxy. 2 words. Space pirates. You can't go wrong with space pirates. Space pirates. The whole game is your typical The whole background for the game, aside from the Space Pirates part, is your typical, you know, Japanese console role-playing game. You know, this person A killed person B, who person C loved. Now, person C is about to kill person A because he has a vendetta against him. But what he finds out is that person A is actually person C's, you know, insert, you know, part here. And so now he's conflicted whether he should kill person A or not, because person A means this much to it means this to him, you know, insert field here. But it goes really different with the fact that it takes place in space. There's tons of planets to explore. It's not just I go here and then the story progresses. No, you finish a planet, you know, like you start from the beginning planet and you go to the galaxy and you get to choose where to go, and it's huge.
Do they have parents? Absolutely huge.
Huh?
Do they have parents?
I didn't see any. That doesn't mean that there aren't. I only got to play it for about 4 hours because I had finals to do. And
parents within 4 hours.
Huh? No parents within four hours. as far as I can remember. But the graphics are incredibly well done for the PlayStation 2. Very well done, actually. The fights are interesting. They're not your standard type of turn-based combat. It's much more strategic. Like, you pair off people with each other to make them do specific capabilities. Kind of like a Chrono Trigger, which was another really good one. Game system is very easy to pick up. The first 45 minutes of the game is a tutorial to teach you how to play, which is pretty much standard nowadays.
Yeah.
But it actually teaches you how to play while progressing the story, which is cool.
I gotta say, I like it how video games have gone to that now.
Yeah. It's great fun, and I highly recommend it for any fan out there that likes role-playing, like console role-playing games. It's been getting rave reviews everywhere, and so I didn't get to play it very much. You know, I don't have much of a review for it, but definitely recommend picking up, rent it, play it. If you like it, pick it up and buy it. And real quick, I want to talk about another one because I didn't have much to talk about that. The other one I'd like to talk about just came out, God of War 2. Okay, you may have heard me rant on crappy controls before, and I'm sure I brought up God of War 1, because the controls in God of War 1 were absolutely atrocious because the game was designed to be a pixel-perfect platformer. Which meant that if you're off from the platform by one tiny minute pixel on the screen, you fell to your death. Yeah. Over and over and over again. 67 times, as a matter of fact. And, well, two broken controllers later, I finally managed to beat that game. Game's a good game. Hated the controls. On to the second game. Every problem I had with the first game. Stuttering graphics, crackling sound, lame-ass controls. And fuzzy picture problems. I had problems where the picture would go fuzzy. And I'm using component inputs, so that was kind of funky to see that. I don't know if that's an effect or not. You know, if somebody knows, let me know. But all the problems that I had with the first game have been fixed with the second one. Another interesting thing is the second one, the theme song, or the intro song, I'm not sure, but it sounds completely orchestrated. I went out and actually bought the soundtrack. Soundtrack is unbelievable. The game graphics, I've never seen a game that looks this good on the PS2. Period. Nothing. Shadow of the Colossus is beautiful. This game is even more spectacular. The amount of stuff they throw on the screen and the amount of detail in the architecture, you would love the game just for looking at the detail, the architecture, because with the first level, you start off in Athens. And that city is amazing. I mean, absolutely amazing, the architecture. You fight the Colossus of Rhodes that's been possessed by a god at the beginning of the first level. And that statue battle, by the way, the first battle in the game sets the precedent for all the precedents for all the battles for the rest of the game. And by the time you finish that first battle with the Colossus of Rhodes, you know you're in for one hell of a ride. The other level I really liked was chasing Icarus to take his wings.
Because you're jumping Icarus's wings?
You rip them off.
Aww.
Icarus. And he plummets to his death as you fly away. But all I have to say is you jump from griffin to griffin to griffin to griffin, eviscerating griffins, gutting them, cutting their wings off, or heads, and then diving to the next griffin. It's just unbelievably cool.
Does he have a parrot?
Who, Icarus?
No.
No, Kratos? No, he's got these awesome blades on chains that he throws out and does cool stuff with. If you played the first one and thought it was an okay game or had a lot of problems with it and didn't like it because of the problems like I did, you owe it to yourself to pick up the second game and try it. Like I said, all the problems I had with the first game, all of them were fixed. Now, there's still a considerable amount of nudity in the game. It does stay true to, like, the way that the creatures and stuff were. You run into a lot of, like, centaurs and like, you run into, like, the Gorgon's sisters, And, yes, they're topless. You know, back then, monsters, you know, even if they had human aspects, they didn't
have clothing. Not a game for little kids.
No. The gore alone makes it not a game for kids. The amount of fatalities you can execute in that game, one of the coolest ones is when you're fighting Cyclops. He runs up their body after hitting them in the groin, so they bend over, jumps up, grabs their eye with both hands, and wrenches their eyeball out.
Yummy.
Yeah. It looks really cool, but it's really gory. Definitely check it out. I mean, if you hated the first one, absolutely hated it, check out the second one, rent it. But if you love the first one, it's a no-brainer to go out and pick out the second one. It's awesome. And now I'm done gushing about, you know, God of War 2.
You gotta find out if they have pirate booty or parrots in that other one, man.
I'll have to find that out. But all I have to say is space pirates. Yarr.
We've got character.
Well, for those of you who are playing in my game, this might be a spoiler, but I really like a particular group of music and some particular songs from Mr. Colton, I think it is.
Jonathan Colton.
And while listening to one song repeatedly, I kept getting the vision of the gnome who is the mastermind and has decided that he needs to conquer the world. Now, Lord Zim, who is a mastermind, a very powerful mastermind, and has many, many secrets, has already been introduced in my game at one point, and will probably continue being introduced into my game. Now, those of you who know the song, and even if you don't, we'll be playing it in this episode anyway.
Yes.
That song rocks.
Lord Zim is your particular, I would say, James Bond, evil, genius villain. He wants to take over the world. Except Zim is, well, he's completely crazy. While he does have massive power, he just can't ever quite win. He's surrounded by idiots.
Incompetent.
Everyone is an incompetent idiot. Yes, he has his sharks with lasers. And yes, the mountains are covered in wolves. And he does have a assistant named
Scarface.
Who loves him and calls him master. And gets him pretty, pretty things.
Uh-oh, there go the elves in the group.
Yay!
The dwarves
but he's surrounded by idiots. All of his henchmen all have uniforms, and they're all idiots. Lord Zim, he's your normal gnome. He's about 3 feet tall. He has a humongous hat.
Possible.
Because all evil geniuses have to have humongous hats and humongous collars. And he rides on Scarface's back, and he sits and he jumps around. And in this particular case, he has a scythe, a brilliant energy scythe.
Oh, goody.
Which would be unfortunate if you get hit by that. And I believe Lord Zim, in all of his insanity, has seen a pretty thing in the party, and we'll have to send Scarface out to collect his pretty thing. And we'll have to show him around his great mountain stronghold and explain his evil plans about igniting the atmosphere.
And I was fooled.
And this is going to be so awesome.
Find it quite explosive.
So please,
we're
going to
get
song.
You a CD of Bond music for that character.
I have the orchestrated essential James Bond.
I know, I have a copy.
You can
of it,
get NPCs from anything.
That is like the best James Bond CD I've ever heard.
NPCs from anything. Music is a great place to get them. That's all I got.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of the women.
That is good. That is good. This is Ray.
Sup?
Let's listen in as Ray hits on Sandra.
Excuse me, miss, but do you know karate? Because your body is kicking.
Now, let's listen to the same scene. Only this time, Ray is sporting a quality Geek Label t-shirt.
Yo, baby, I was wondering,
Damn.
Rejection.
What's up with that?
We can't really stop it.
Damn.
But we can outfit you in buttery smooth designs for geeks, gamers, and tech heads. They're custom t-shirts. They're not magic t-shirts.
Damn.
Another fine product from geeklabel.com.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.
You can visit our website at www.canadiancrusaders.com. You can leave us an audio, call or voicemail line at 206-338-2414. Visit us on the Frapper map, send us an email, or go by the forums on Fistful of Comics, or go to our website and click on the forums link to get to the forums, and leave us a message there, and we'll get back to you absolutely as soon as we can. Thanks for listening. Gamers Haven Podcast is released under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, attribution, share-alike 2.5 license and is a proud member of the Fistful of Comics podcast audio group. And if you swallow the drone, you'll be fast to die. There's a new sheriff in town, but he's all alone. So you're near.
Space Pirates just makes it awesome.
What's R in Japanese?
Yeah.
There we go. Just doesn't sound as... You know what's horrible, though? The only thing I can think of now is that bad, when she was, I think she was 50 at the time. What's her name? Singing and dancing on the ship, on the Navy ship. Creepy old woman now. Cher.
Cher?
Yeah.
I've only seen parts of that video because I refuse to watch it all. But she's on that ship, and she's so, like, lich-like. And those men, I'm just like, they want to kill themselves. You know they do. And she's singing that song, and I just remember from the portions of the video that netting on her legs. I'm like, oh, God. That's so, she looks... How many plastic surgeons did she eat?
Like 50.
Not to offend anybody who likes Cher out there, I'm sorry, but it was horrifying. Still, nightmares is not bad.
You expect me to talk?
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die!
Never mind.
Yep. Hey, the pirates all broke out into a swinging rendition of In the Navy for the characters one. Pretty funny. It was a techno remix, you know.
Oh, it was Captain Jack's version, huh?
Which is probably one of the most gay songs you'll ever hear. But it's funny.
You have nightmares about Smurfs.
What about clowns and chair?
Sometimes clowns. Oh, God.
A clown chair.
A clown chair.
He's going to have a nightmare about that tonight. You realize that, right?
Oompa
loompa
doopa dee doo.
You can't go wrong with Space Pirates.
Spelljammer? What? No.
Spell.
put down the sticks, guys.
Spelljammer had potential. It just didn't need to be a whole game.
Yeah.
It could have been a module and not a
source book or a mod. No.
I agree wholeheartedly with on that. It's retarded to see people do that. Or on the flip side of that, the Toon Kings are going to eat people's souls.
Yours are Oompa Loompas?
No,
that would be a halfling.
Again, they're not a long-lived race because of their size, their metabolism system burns out.
Because Willy Wonka shows up and takes them all.
Yeah, that too.
No, that's halflings. I'm trying to get that in your mind.
But